I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trust is lost for the news. Seve knife and Hallis in your ears.
Seve knife and Hallis, Joe Scott, Flo Zanellini, Barb Chair Scott. Bears lose to the Packers 24-14. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Can we address Bears fans first?
That they're idiots.
It's just what Maul say. Like, what are we doing? We really sit down and think about what is really going on. Like, it's just I don't understand it, bro. I don't understand it, especially from a fan base who gave Mitchell Trubisky 3.5 years of bullshit play. That some of them guys still have Trubisky at Abby's today. To this day, they still got Trubisky at Abby's.
Abby's of a backup.
And Justin had a good game to me today. I gave him B minus.
Yeah.
I gave him B minus. I thought the first half, he looked a little discombobulated. There was some communication issues. You know, he mailed a couple passes, maybe the overthrow or two. Second half, he looked good. That game, at the end of the game, they scored a touchdown. I think it was Aaron Jones scored that touchdown. It was 17-7. How many times have we seen Bears quarterbacks fold after that? He comes down there, leads a 70-yard drive. They score a touchdown, a three-point game, then defense let him down. We're seeing progression from this kid every week. What are y'all watching? Like, I just don't understand. You know, shout out to the homie Braggs. I just had a nice little heated discussion with him on Twitter. He said he wasn't seeing any progression. I'm like, yes, the offense around him stinks. These wide receivers can't get open. The scheme stinks. Matt Nagy is terrible. Bill Lazor's plays are not creative. This offense is bad. But the fact that he's looking good with all this negativity around him speaks volumes to me. And can we stop saying this kid is going to get ruined? How long does it got to take for y'all to understand that nothing rattles this kid?
No.
A lot of quarterbacks would have been fragile after getting sacked 9 damn times against the damn Browns. A lot of quarterbacks would have. And he just goes out there and nothing fazes him. I don't understand what, you know, the Bears fan, sometimes I feel like we don't deserve good things. And, you know, Bragg even tweeted that some people at the game were upset and saying that about Justin. And also, you got to understand, he's a rookie. Outside of Mahomes and Justin Herbert, Herbert looked terrible today. Outside of them two, quarterbacks just don't poof. I'm great first year. Russell Wilson. It don't happen. Russell Wilson wasn't great his first year.
He set the record that Justin Herbert broke.
No, Justin Herbert broke Patrick Mahomes' record.
Russell Wilson set that record.
Okay, he was good. Give me Russell Wilson's rookie numbers.
Like, are you tripping, nigga?
I don't think it was great. I think it was good. I don't think it was great. Show me his number. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, but say the numbers.
26 touchdowns, 8 picks, 3,000 yards passing, 100 quarterback rating, 65% completion rating.
Okay, I'll take that back. So, okay, exactly. Russell Wilson. Let's say them three. Them three then. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And, you know, and I said, okay, you just got to get through this year. You just got to get through this year. This year, like we've been saying, it's not about wins and losses. It's about Justin's development. And then the comment that I was upset about, not upset about, but which I was debating with Braggs about, he said that the Patriots are losing, but they're developing Mac.
How?
What sense does that make? To me, Justin's look better than Mac.
There is no world in which I would take Mac Jones right now over Justin.
No, of course not. Neither would the Patriots.
I mean, not to mention that Mac Jones is a game managing quarterback. Literally, his job is to throw the ball 4 yards and let his skill players do the rest. Never mind that, but the fact that he doesn't have a good arm, and I've said this since he's been since he was at Alabama. The only thing I liked about him, I'm like, he makes good decisions. But the kid was like 15 for 21, 2 touchdowns, and one of those touchdowns was just a busted coverage. One of the touchdowns is a safety went over top. Now, of course, you can't take that away on his bot on his stat sheet. But it's just to say, relax, calm down. Mac Jones has not shown me any progression to where I'm like, oh my goodness, look at him growing as a player. Look at him growing as a quarterback. Looks okay. Right now in the season, he has 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
If you have to think all the rookie quarterbacks, who looks the best to you? And this might sound homer. I think it's Justin.
Right now, Trevor Lawrence.
You think Trevor Lawrence is better than Justin?
Trevor Lawrence is just looking – he's looked so much more comfortable. And I think his coach is actively trash and is actively –
that's your guy. Herb is your man.
He won us a title, and I'm going to forever be indebted to him for that.
So are you saying just off the last couple games? Because Trevor's looking like some hot ass early in the season.
Oh, you know, Trevor Lawrence was looking a lot more mid, but I mean, over the last 3 games, he's thrown 1 pick. You know what I'm saying?
And how many touchdowns?
3.
Okay. Over so last, how many games?
3. 3 games.
Over the last 3 games?
Yeah.
Over the last 3 games, how many has Justin had? 2 TDs and 1 pick?
I think so. Now, compare that to the first 3 games where he had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And also,
seven interceptions those games.
Trevor Lawrence is playing with less, too.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Darnell Mooney is better than
right now, it's looking like the same thing it was in high school and college, Trevor Justin. You know what I'm saying? Trey hasn't. 49ers on a whatchamacallit bye week, right?
Trey Lance looked terrible last week. I don't care what the fuck. You know, Niners fans tried to pull a Nagy call with me. I was like, nigga, if you want Nagy, I'll give you Nagy. Give me Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Like, cut the bullshit. Trey Lance looked drunk last weekend.
Trubisky is.
Exactly. Since I call him Trubisky. And he'll be coming to the lake front in 2 weeks. I'll get a nice up and close little look at him.
When he gets stomped out.
By the APA, Quinn and Mac.
Man, we'll talk about them later. They still look good. And Khalil Mack was not healthy.
No, he's not. He ain't been healthy for the last couple games.
But 6 sacks on the year.
But
it's still Trevor and Justin. There are several the interception he had against the Packers today. So he thought it was a free play. Like, what do you want him to do? And remember, like, some people, like, he should have looked for the flag. Who takes time to scan the ground for a flag?
Nobody does that shit. No quarterback does that shit.
Who goes, hike? No, you have to assume it's a free play. That being said, you know, Nagy said he could have put a little bit of air on that, and Justin could have put a little more air on that. So that's the only thing you can give him. He could have put more air on that. But it's a free play, and that's the aggressiveness you want from your starting quarterback is when you assume there is a false start, but an offside, you take advantage of it. I think I saw either was it Tom Thayer or Jeff Joniak said carelessness. I was like, give me a break. Talk about his carelessness. He thought it was a free play. In every single game elsewhere, that's a free play, and it's coming right back. Why do you think the Packers didn't celebrate? The Packers were like, and then they said, our ball, after seconds of thinking it was a free.
If the Packers really thought that wasn't a penalty, Darnell Savage would have celebrated in the fucking end zone.
Yeah, nobody did because they thought it was a free play. Like, here's the thing, like, with Justin Fields versus Mr. Trubisky. Mr. Trubisky never showed me anything that made him think he was going to be a great quarterback.
Nothing.
His ceiling, so if this is this box, remember, if you're on Patreon, you're seeing us visually. But since you can't see me on audio, I'm making a box with my hand. So here's the floor. Here's the ceiling. Mr. Trubisky was right here as far as he could go. I thought he could have been a serviceable quarterback. But yeah, he never had what Justin Fields has. Justin Fields has shown me more in his 3 starts than Mr. Trubisky showed me through his entire career. Like, there were throws today, like, man, he can put it in the bucket. That throw to Allen Robinson was draped. caught him right in the bucket for a first down. That's not happening with Mitch. Mitch never made any of those plays. Mitch could throw far, and he could throw into Soldier. He can throw into Lakeshore Drive, but that's it. But stop kidding yourself. Stop kidding yourself and thinking like I just don't understand it. Bears fans are weird. They hate the quarterback when they're there. Then when they leave, they say the quarterback that's there ain't as good as the quarterback was there before. Shut up. Shut up. Let's look at this objectively. Mitch had an okay.
Mitch stinks. He was never good.
Shut up. Mitch had an okay first year under Nagy. It was okay at best. After he got injured, either was it the Rams game or the Vikings game. I can't remember when he got injured.
It was a Vikings game.
After that, he was just garbage. He never looked good after that. I saw that. There was never a game where I said he was great. But before that, yeah. But that's all you have to hold on. Justin has looked like a future franchise quarterback every single game he started. Every single game, except Cleveland. Cleveland was just that was just bad.
Take that performance out, yeah.
He
never even had a chance to even establish himself because he didn't have fucking time to throw the fucking ball.
A game so bad the head coach said, all right, I can't call plays no more.
Right, exactly.
And for those of you who want to know, and I tweeted this with conspiracy theorists, Matt Nagy's not calling the plays.
Yes,
he didn't call one play. Whenever Justin had his headset, you know, he's holding his hands against his headset.
He's talking to Lazer.
He's talking to Lazer.
But also, I tweeted too. Like, we got to, every time it's a bad play, you got to stop saying his name. Bill Lazer isn't fucking Andy Reid either. Like, the problem with this is Nagy is a symbol of the coaching staff of niggas who've been fired. Lazer, DeFlippio, like, all these guys have been fired before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the bigger issue here.
Well, I mean, but that's with any coaching staff.
Yes, but they've been fired from teams that didn't really have good offense either.
But that's – if you get yourself an offensive or defensive coordinator, they were fired. It's rare – you get a head coach who is great. Head coaches typically aren't people that you – who were just fired, typically. You know, head coaches typically did great as a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator. But coordinators, they were fired. They were almost always fired. It's rare that a good offensive coordinator makes a lateral move to offensive coordinator. It just don't happen. Like, I heard that take. Man, you didn't originate that take. I heard the take before, and I was like, eh. It just so happens that coordinators typically get fired. And I will say with Sean Desai, of course, is a different story. Bill Lazor has spent most of his time as a quarterback's coach. He has been a quarterback's coach. He was an offensive coordinator for the Dolphins.
Who was he quarterback's coach with, though? What quarterback?
Oh, my goodness. The Atlanta Falcons, Buffalo, Washington Redskins. Washington football team. He was offensive assistant quarterback's coach. Seattle Seahawks, Virginia Eagles, Cincinnati Bengals. I can go on. So he was a quarterback's coach. The one time he was the offensive coordinator was with the Dolphins for 1 year. Then he became the Bengals quarterback coach. Then he was the Bengals offensive coordinator. Then he went to Penn State as an analyst. Now he's back as an offensive coordinator in 2020. So coordinators get the brunt of the blame for offenses, even though a good chunk of coordinators don't call plays. That's the only coach. Now, Juan Castillo, now that's a different story. That's a different story. Juan Castillo has been kind of shifted around, and I won't make excuses for him. Juan Castillo has been around for a while. Run game coordinator, offensive line coach, Buffalo Bills line coach, fired. Michigan offensive analyst, Bears offensive line coach. So not to say that there aren't, but I don't think Bill Lazor fits into the scheme of that. Bill Lazor is really having his first run of the mill orchestrating the entire offense. And there were times I thought it wasn't bad. I think that the Bears, unfortunately, have not broke away the traditional habit of being conservative. You know, you get a lead, you're conservative. Now, there was an opportunity for the Bears to be up 14-0 that was taken away after that fault free play. So much changes and hinges on a game after that free play. Normally, the refs don't win you a game, but they sure cannot help. And in this game, this is not for us to blame the refs. But it's like Darnell Mooney said, once we lost that pick happened, the momentum shifted. And momentum is real in football. I mean, momentum is real because if you're home, you get to hear the roar of the crowd. If you're away, you get to hear the silence of the crowd. Both of those things can fuel you and make you more confident to take throws. That being said, it's funny because time of possession, Bears only were 3 minutes behind. Same amount of first downs, more third down conversions, same amount of fourth down conversions. They were only outgained by 20 yards. It's amazing how on paper this game seemed very much even. That's why I say that final score does not tell the truth of the game. The truth of the game was that this game was much, much closer. With 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it was a three-point game.
Yeah.
And so there is now, of course, as I said on the video on Twitter, eventually we'll have to stop talking about more victories and start talking about actual victories. But the Packers should hear footsteps right now. That's just the truth. I know I had some Packers fans I mentioned, typical Bears fans to argue, to say it was the refs' fault. Let's be honest.
The referee was terrible.
Hold on. Let's be honest with ourselves. Every fan of every sport will blame the refs when it's bad. And every fan of every sporting team will put too much on the referees if their team's losing. That's just the nature of sports. Let's not act like as a Packers fan, you're high and mighty or somehow above what it means to be a fan. Oh, I never blame the refs. I never say if the refs are. I never hinge on the refs. Yes, you do. But I didn't argue with them. I just said, sure, right. Typical Bears fan doesn't want to engage. I'm like, yeah. I know it's angering you that I don't care about what you have to say. But, yeah. Go ahead.
Now, I was just saying that it was bad officiating. And I try not to blame the officials if they're not actually – because I don't believe a lot of times that officiating loses you the game. There's other things that lose you the game. But this officiating was downright shit. And this is like, I'm getting texts from people who are not even Bears fans tell me that we were getting a screw job. I don't have a problem losing. At least give me an opportunity. That fucking call on Justin the pick was terrible. Like the roughing the passer thing by Mario Edwards was terrible. You know what I'm saying? You look at fucking Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers pulled him by his fucking face, man. That's supposed to be a foul on him. Justin gets fucking mauled on the sideline. There's no fucking call.
Yeah.
None. That little brutal pass interference they called on Roquan, which was a fucking incomplete pass, was bullshit. It was bullshit. It was a terribly officiated game. Was that the main reason the Bears lost? No. The offense, for the most part, has been like it's been all season. Since it's been all Nagy era, it was shit. Both things can be true. And that's the thing I'm arguing with Bears fans. It don't have to be one or the other. Both things can be true. And that's the type of shit that angers me when I'm talking to this fucking fan base. Because I just don't understand what y'all are watching. What do you expect from this kid? He's 22. This is what, his fourth start? His first start was against the Browns, the Lions, the Raiders. So it was his fourth start. What the fuck are y'all looking for? It's ridiculous.
No, I agree. What I heard some people say, yeah, Justin isn't progressing. It's not Braggs, but some say Justin isn't progressing, but he had a few wild throws. I'm like, you've never seen a wild throw since Jay Cutler. What are you talking about? So how do you say he's progressing, but he's not progressing? I don't understand that. It's a weird, and I don't think this is a case of fans being racist against a black quarterback. There are some.
I think that has a lot to do with it.
Oh, I'm the fans who I've interacted with, I don't believe it has anything to do with it being Justin being black. I think it has to do from Bears commentators nationally and also locally.
Because I'll just say this one thing too, that's watching the Cowboy game. Dak was mediocre for years. For years, nigga.
You sound like whatchamacallit, Umar. Fuck God!
Mediocre for years. Now look at him. It takes time, bro. At least let this kid get through a full rookie season before y'all give y'all complaints. The nigga got 11 more games left. It's like a whole fucking season left. Like, I just don't understand. But I do think race has a part to do it. Now, I'm not saying this is from anybody I interacted with today. I'm just saying in this fan base, I do think race has a lot to do with it because you know how it is with black quarterbacks. You know how people judge black quarterbacks on a different fucking level. And you can just see the shit we saw with Mitch. You got niggas today who still act like fucking Jay Cutler was fucking John Elway. Like, what are we doing here, bro? What are we doing? And to me, it's kind of like it's like I just don't understand. Like, I understand being frustrated in the moment. We want our team to win. We just lost to our most bitter rival. I get it. It sucks. But the kid looked decent from comparing what the fuck is around him. Y'all want this nigga to be Patrick Mahomes? It takes time, bro. It really does. You're on mute.
I'm sitting here chatting, and I'm just chatting away and saying, I agree with you. But, like, for instance, like when Braggs is talking, Braggs is not talking from a position of racism. I think Braggs is just talking it from a position of he's worried, you know? Yeah. He's worried. And then there's another fan in which Scott was having a conversation with, and I mentioned that, you know, I said, no, this dude just has Bears PTSD, you know, Bears PTSD from the simple fact that they've experienced it. For someone like Braggs, who knows the Bears, and from this person who's in our mentions, those are just typical fans who are just worried because they've witnessed crappy Bears quarterbacks. Then there are fans who are like, when someone, as I mentioned, said another whiny Bears quarterback, and I was like, what? I was like, I don't like that tone, bro. I don't like the way you talk about him like that. You know what I'm saying? There is a tendency for me to want to stick up for a black quarterback, and definitely one that's in Chicago. You know what I mean? And I would stick up for black quarterbacks across the NFL, except the inmate in Houston.
I thought you were going to tell me I don't like Lamar again. Because y'all be
– you opened yourself up for that.
Yeah, y'all be having me act like, I do not hate Lamar Jackson. I like Lamar Jackson. It's just we have to keep it real sometimes. That's all I'm saying.
Keep it real with what?
Just look, I just look. You say anything about Lamar, you look at his cone.
I got a bit like somebody said, "Who is it? Mike Vick is the best." You know,
Lamar Jackson's better than Michael Vick.
Okay, thank you. As long as you agree, Lamar Jackson.
Come on now,
there's a level.
Come on, man.
Let's hear it. It's Vick.
Michael Vick is one of my favorite quarterbacks ever. I had two Michael Vick jerseys in high school.
Yes, you did. Which one did you wear more? The white one.
The white one.
Yeah.
Cause that matched with I had like the matching ones to go with it. That's when I got fits off.
Yeah, that was fit game. I give
that was my fit years. Yeah, but
now I wear sweatpants. I don't care.
Now I dress like an AAU coach. I don't give a fuck. But yeah, so Lamar's way better than Vic. I love Vic, but Lamar. I think Lamar cold, man. I think I said on 2 minute drill. I think Lamar is the top five quarterback. Yeah. All I tweeted was my top three candidates, and people like, oh, you got, I don't name five or six. When you get to the fucking NFL awards, what they name, three, four people max in the candidates for MVP? So then if I have to name four guys, it'd be Kyler Murray, who is my leader right now, Dak Prescott, then I would put Tom Brady, and then Josh Allen. If you want to do a top five, then yeah, okay, you put Lamar in a five. But if it comes to the top four, I don't think he's in there. And everybody's like, oh, you disagree. He's only his best target is a tight end. I'm like, okay, nigga, are we talking about best targets? Who's having
Tom
a great
Brady
year?
Got 2,000 yards passing already. 17 touchdowns and 3 picks.
Yeah, but he's also Tom Brady, and he's got it like 5 times, so he's going to have to do a lot more to get that shit.
Oh, no, he's not getting that.
I don't think he is. They're going to give it to one of the young niggas.
I think the NFL is worse than the NBA when it comes to you got to do more if you had it before.
Nah, I don't think so. NBA way worse. LeBron's never going to get another MVP.
That's what I'm talking about.
You said NFL's worse.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like...
LeBron ain't won MVP in a decade.
Actually, no. Let me see. No, my point is taken back. You're right.
NBA is agenda-based.
True.
Like, I don't think Giannis is going to win another MVP again. He won back-to-back. He's not winning another one.
That's true.
If he do, it's going to be like 5-6. The next
there's an argument that I think Mike should have like 8 or 9 MVPs. LeBron should probably have like 8 right now. So,
yeah,
I will say the NFL.
They're just waiting for Luka to have a top 4 finish. They're going to give him the fucking MVP. That's really all they're waiting for.
I will say the NFL. Okay, so not as hard. It would be tough for Brady to get the MVP.
Yeah. I think it's Kyler's to lose right now.
Josh Allen has like 12 touchdowns.
12 touchdowns, 2 picks.
Kyler Murray is sitting at 14 touchdowns. I'm going to say Tom Brady is still in the lead right now. Just because of the simple fact of, so you have 17 yards, 100 yards passes for Kyler, 14 touchdowns, 4 picks. You have 12 touchdowns, 2 picks, 1,600 yards passes for Josh Allen. Dak Prescott has, I want to say, around the same.
That guy 1,800,
16 picks. 16 picks,
18, okay.
4 interceptions, 1,800 yards passing. Tom Brady has 17 touchdowns, 3 picks. It's Brady right now. Brady looks the best he's been since he had that.
And he's gonna add another 400 yards and 4 touchdowns to that next Sunday.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Did you hear what Levante David said after they beat the Eagles?
What?
He's been interviewed on NFL Network, and it was like, "So you guys got many bye week coming?" He said, "Yeah, but we focused. We getting right back to work. We remember that loss we took in Chicago last week, and we eager to play them." I was like. Don't want to hear that.
Nope, don't like it.
Yeah. Not great, yeah. Bob.
Not great, Bob. No, okay, yeah.
Antonio Brown, touchdown Buccaneers.
And here's the thing with the Packers game. In my parlay, I picked the Packers every time.
We picked the Packers on the preview part.
The Packers are great. I don't think it was the Bears' time yet. I do think there are things to take away from here. And Khalil Herbert, my boy. Like, I like that he is, you know, he does not hype himself up too much. He just says, you know, like I said, you got things to work on. I should have followed up and said, like, what things you think you need to work on? But I will say he is patient at the point of attack. Jalen Smith, Packers, former Cowboy, stinks. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He got rocked into oblivion by Khalil. Khalil Herbert did a simple cut. I understand what Cowboys fans said. Aaron on Twitter, A-Bake, what is Aaron's full name? A-Bake something on Twitter. I forgot the full name on Twitter. He was like, Jalen is terrible. I was like, okay, maybe the NBA Packers will rehabilitate him. No, he stinks. But
yeah, Jalen Hurts is not good.
Jalen Smith, linebacker.
I thought you were talking about Jalen. Well, that nigga stinks too.
I see what Cowboy fans are saying. Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet finally starting to get our targets down the field. And I asked Justin, you know, what made you pass to him more? He was like, game plan. So it seems like there was literally more of a game plan to get the ball in the Cole Kmet's hands, which is a great thing.
He looked good today.
You know, he looked very good. Darnell Mooney looked good. Hey, Rob, I have some concerns.
Can we get into it, man? Look, first of all, I'm going to do like Stephen A. do when he talk about LeBron. I think that Allen Robinson is a good person. He's a good father. He's a good philanthropist. He does a lot of shit for the city.
Jay Farrell. Allen Robinson is a good friend of mine.
He does a lot of good shit for the city of Chicago. Like, that's one of the things he's done. He got a great foundation. I think A-Rob is a good dude. I'm an A-Rob fan. With that being said, this nigga cannot get open to save his fucking life. If you're a number one receiver, which I used to think he was, if you're a number one receiver, you got to get more open. You saw what CeeDee Lamb did today? I saw CeeDee Lamb get more open this game than any time. And Allen Robinson, the last three seasons.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, there was times they were just, and I got to give it to the offensive line, honestly. Justin had some time to throw the ball. Justin had some time to throw the ball. Justin was looking and wasn't nobody open. By the way, this is not just on
A-Rob. Tied the game. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. Jocktober. Another nigga I said that the fucking White Sox should have. Actually, no. White Sox offered him a lot of money. But he took it. He decided to go to Cubs instead. I remember that. The White Sox offered him more.
Can't do nothing about that, bro.
Yes, can't do nothing about that. But yeah, so
this is a Barber's Chair podcast. If it's your first time listening, don't be shocked.
We get off topic a lot.
On top of that, this is related sort of to Chicago teams, to the White Sox, sort of.
He will be a free agent again, though. Anyway, so like I was saying, like, this is not just A-Rod. I think this receiving core in general has a problem getting open, and that has a lot to do with the fucking scheme.
Yeah,
guys got to get open. But when you're A-Rob, and to me, if I'm A-Rob, I would be more mad at myself because you're trying to get paid.
Yeah,
if I'm the Bears, why would I re-sign him when Chris Godwin's going to be a free agent?
That's also true.
Now, granted, if Tom Brady tells his general manager, I want Chris Godwin back, this is a mute discussion. But I'm just saying, why would I do that? Or call Cleveland. You want A-Rob? Give us Odell. I don't think Cleveland do that unless they're trying to get rid of Odell's contract. But I just don't think he's acting like a number one receiver. There's been too many times where Justin was looking for him to throw and he wasn't there. And then you had the wide open part where he did earlier and Justin said that wasn't for him on that throw. Like, I got to see more. I got to see more of him. We're seeing the chemistry between Mooney and Justin grow each week. Even that touchdown Justin threw, it was the Mooney. I don't know what's happening with A-Rob, man. And I don't think this is going to happen. But if I was Ryan Pace, I'd trade him at the deadline because I don't think either team wants to come. I don't think he wants to come back to the Bears, and I don't think the Bears want to pay him that money. Might as well get you a pick for him.
Yeah. And I would respect Allen Robinson enough to send him to a team he can compete. You know, he can be competitive with. You know, a team that's willing to either shed a good player or shed some picks off of them. You know what I'm saying? I think the best thing for the Bears is to come loaded with picks this offseason. So I would hope that they would, you know, make that possible. And I think Allen Robinson is a good player. I think the hardest thing for someone Allen Robinson's skill set is he's not fast. He's not really quick either. And so when you don't have those two things, it's going to be hard for you to get open. What does Darnell Mooney have that gets him open? Well, he's quick. He's also fast. Why did Allen Robinson get more open in under Mitchell Trubisky? Nobody was really afraid for Mitch to throw. And since nobody was afraid for Mitch to throw in King on the running game, he had one-on-ones a lot more. But now, either he's getting chipped at the line, either there's safety help. And so I will say Justin has found him on tough routes. And Allen Robinson has made the most of tough catches. I still don't have the confidence in Mooney to make the same tough catches Allen Robinson has made. Now, that being said, this is a business, and I would still look for suitors. Now, if at the end of the year, I would want him to come back, but it ain't gonna be for the same, and he would know that unless this this improves. But remember, with every quarterback, there comes a person that they like, a person that they hang on to. Why do you think Gronk is in Tampa Bay? Is Gronk in Tampa Bay because he's at the physical peak, a physical prime? No. If he was on any other team, I think he'd stink. But man, he knows what Tom Brady needs to be successful. He's open when Tom Brady needs him. And that just happens. Remember Deion Branch with Tom Brady in New England?
Super Bowl MVP, Deion Branch.
That was his guy.
Yeah.
And why was that his guy? The chemistry was insane.
Troy Brown, RIP Rashay Caldwell, all these other guys.
You know what I'm saying?
Playing with.
And that happened. So I will say, and also, and on top of that, Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields have a relationship, it seems. They have a repertoire. And so they just know each other. And you hear about them practicing after the games. Wow, I forgot he was a Super Bowl MVP.
And kicking it,
people don't understand how much that helps when you literally just hang out with the person. You know the person better. Football is going to be talked about. Life's going to be talked about. But that's your guy. You're going to understand it. And I think he's developed that relationship with Cole Kmet, with Darnell Mooney, and then there's Khalil Herbert, who he was already talking to since the start of rookie minicamp. And that's going to be. I really have faith in those three. And Damian Williams, when he gets back, you won't have to be moved to number three. And Damian Williams is a capable backup. That's the thing. This is not the situation with Mike Davis. Like year before that?
Yeah.
This is not the situation where I just think
Mike Davis. The 2019 might go down as my most hated Bears season. Okay. All hype considered, it might be the most disappointing Bears season ever.
Yeah.
We think that Khalil Herbert's and this is nothing about when I look Khalil Herbert and Travis Gibson, I'm just like, man, if only Pace could be great in the early rounds like he is in the late rounds. Because Pace be finding some gems in the late. Travis Gibson has been contributed.
That's why I don't think Pace is going anywhere. He will take Matt Nagy and literally roll him like he's freaking broiling chicken.
What have I been saying for weeks? He's going to roost Bolton, that nigga. I keep telling y'all. He's going to. And that's why I was telling all these Bears fans. Everybody's worried about Nagy. Look, unless these are only two things that's going to save Matt Nagy's job this year. The offense has to get out of the top three. I think there's only two offenses worse than us, the Texans and the Jets. The offense has to have a dramatic improvement over these next 11 games, and they have to make a playoff spot. That's the only way his job is going to be saved. And everybody's like, well, George this. One thing that George McCaskey did say in that ridiculous press conference back in January, we were both listening. He said, I have to see improvement. They said, what do you have to see for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to be here long term? He says, I have to see improvement. Have you seen improvement offensively? Hell no. To me, this offense looks worse. Yeah. It's like each year it gets worse. So I think Ryan Pace is going to see the light. Like, I'm not getting fired, nigga. Yeah. I'm going to get fucking Nagy out here. And then the question will be, is he going to bring the right guy in? We said this last week. I look at what Brandon Staley's doing in fucking the Chargers, and I'm like, he was in our building. I was watching Khalil Mack mic'd up from his first year with the Bears. Who's sitting on the bench going over defense? Why, look, it's the Chargers head coach, Brandon Staley. How did he get him out? And we don't have to – another trend in the NFL that's got to die. We don't need an offensive-minded coach. Look at Staley. He's doing well. There's been defensive-minded coaches who's been doing good.
Also, it's six games in. Let's let the hype die down. Because I'm sure some people could have looked at Nagy like, man, that, his first year.
But they were also saying that, too, if you wanted to, instead of bringing Pagano in, he could have been the next guy to be defensive coordinator. Because look how that Rams defense looked the last two seasons.
True.
So that's all I'm saying with that, bro. I'm just, you know, and, you know, if we're going to compare it to, I can see if there's another rookie quarterback that out there who just lights out. Like you said, it's really only been Trevor and Justin who've been looking like they've been worth a damn. Matt Jones has been fucking game managing his ass off, dog. He's playing real Kyle Orton football right now.
Yeah. No, I agree wholeheartedly.
But what were you saying about Ryan Pace? I'm going to call him Juice Herbert because there's only one Khalil. His nickname is Juice. Juice Herbert. I think he makes Tariq expendable.
Oh, shoot. Absolutely. No, I, when it comes to Ryan Pace, it's like you said, he will find gems in the later rounds. And you just got to give it to him. You got to give it to him from that. Now, would I still want someone else if I could? Sure. But he's not going anywhere. He's going to be the general manager for the foreseeable future. Especially since this is the coach he had a chance to grow with in Matt Nagy. That being said, yes, there needs to be somebody else to come in. Bill Lazor will probably be in the crossfire, but I feel like Bill Lazor has been in the crossfire of terrible coaches for a long time. It might just be a situation where Bill Lazor might become the coach for a year. I don't know. I have no
clue. Hell no.
You will be surprised how cheap the Bears could be.
Hell, nigga, make Sean decide to coach then.
That seems so weird to make somebody in their first year, first ever actual solid coaching position over someone who's been in the NFL a lot longer.
Lazor, though, bro.
Like I said, I wouldn't be shocked. But this is just an assumption. I have no sources. On top of that, who's on the market for you to actually get outside of people who've been fired?
Kellen Moore is going to be available. He's the
first year, man. I don't know, man. It's the second year. What did I see last year that made me think he's going to be incredible?
He was fucking hurt. Dak was balling the first month.
Then the offense still looked trash.
It was Andy fucking Dalton.
Bro, there is no excuse for the running game or to the point of attack to be that bad. I still have to see. I don't know.
I hear you, but I'll rather give young guys a shot than fucking Bill Lazor.
I'm at the point where it's like...
The point is this. We need to find the right cast around Justin. Justin is the only thing that matters on this team.
I care.
Get the right people around him.
I care more about the cast than I do about the coach. Like I said, I don't think, for what I've seen from Bill Lazor in his three or four?
This is fourth game.
Taking over completely.
Detroit. Nice, his third game. Detroit,
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas and this is third.
I have not minded his play call. I think his play call has been fine.
I think about it.
Has it really been horrible?
It hasn't been horrible, but it ain't been good either. I really don't think they still have training wheels on Justin.
They definitely do.
How many times did he throw the ball today? That's a good question. I don't know how many times Justin threw the ball.
I want to say Justin Fields threw the ball 25.
If it's 25, then that's an improvement.
Improvement is just how you said that. You just talking about a nigga like you from Baltimore again.
Improvement.
Justin Fields threw the ball 27 times.
Okay.
Threw more than Aaron Rodgers, surprisingly.
More than that. I mean, he didn't have to.
Also that. They let Aaron Jones get 13 carries, 76 yards. What do you think is going to happen when you allow Aaron Jones to get that? And then that wasn't the only person you let gash him. 11 carries, 59 yards. They had a 5.0 average rushing. Bears had a 5.0 yard average rushing. So, my thing is, Justin Fields was... When I watched him at Ohio State, he could do it all. He could step back. I mean, he could drop back and pass. He could run the bootlegs. He could do everything you needed him to do. And bear in mind, I thought, of course, he played with some great receivers at the shoe. Olave, of course. Like, man, I wonder – Olave hasn't been getting the looks like he should have this year because C.J. Stroud has been – he's improved recently. I think C.J. Stroud is actually coming into his own. But since Olave hasn't got the looks that he had before – he might drop. If you're not going to re-sign Allen Robinson, look at Olave. And I say that very seriously. But that being said, Justin Fields threw for like, 3,000 yards in that one season, full season with the Buckeyes. But he's not as he's not going to be a person who throws for 5,000. That's not his game. You know, that's not, you know, many quarterbacks' game. There are plenty of quarterbacks who don't do that but have also been great. I think he's somebody who can be in the 3,800, 42, maybe 4,100 yard range. And mixing up with maybe 500 rushing yards. You know, if you just give him space to operate, I do not mind keeping the training wheels on it, but if you see that he's ready to take off, I'm not meaning like rushing, I mean take off skill or talent or progression wise, man, shut up. If you see he's ready to take off progression wise, loosen it up a bit. You know, like when you're literally, if you're literally with your, I help my cousins, my little cousin Peyton and Deani, learn how to ride a bike. I don't think I helped Chloe. When I was helping them ride a bike, people who are on Patreon, you could see me.
Chloe's low-key a genius. She didn't need your help.
Yeah, of course, Chloe. We'll see on Christmas when you play us in Uno.
I'm coming back for the crown.
None of us have had the crown.
Chloe is Kawhi Leonard of Uno.
You know what I'm saying?
She don't talk shit. She just kick your ass.
True. But when you take off the training wheels, what do? Either you hold the handles or you're literally just monitoring them as they're riding it. You're saying, come on. You have your hands as a guide to make sure they don't fall to the left or to the right. Then eventually you slowly take your hands and say, you're doing it. Now, if you're like me, you would still try to keep up with them in case they fall, or you would tell them get near the grass. And if they're near the grass, try to steer themselves to fall on the grass. That's what you do when you're training somebody who's riding a bike. I'm okay if you're doing that with Justin Fields. But at certain points in time, I think it's just time to do like this. Let him go. Let him learn. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready for him to have a 2-interception, 3-interception game. Now, I know that seems, oh, my God, I don't want that to happen. But that has to happen. Everyone has to go through that. Pat Mahomes is going through growing pains.
Yeah. No, you know, nigga. And we're going to talk about that, too, in the drill this week. What the fuck is my dude Pat out here doing?
Bro, the only quarterback I can name in recent memory that had not had to go through growing pains like that was Aaron Rodgers. But also Aaron Rodgers sat for how many years doing nothing? Not even getting four. You know what I'm saying?
That nigga got drafted my freshman year of high school. He didn't play to my second year of college.
So I mean, like that. So he sat for 3 years. 2005.
He got drafted in 2004. He got drafted.
Okay, right? But his first season 2005. I'm looking at it now. 2005, 2006, 2007. He didn't. He barely.
Wait, it wasn't April 2004.
I'm just looking. It was 2005.
So Aaron Rodgers got drafted in 2005.
It was 2005, yes.
Okay, 2005. So it's 3 seasons then. Okay, my fault. So you got
drafted. Yes, yeah. He was the first round pick, 24, 2005.
So he got drafted in my junior year of high school.
Yeah.
And he didn't start to my sophomore year of college.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
So that's a long time to wait. But even then, his first year, he was 28 touchdowns, 13 picks. When have you heard Aaron Rodgers throw double-digit picks?
No, I remember that first game. He dropped like 4 on the Vikings. And I already knew hell. I didn't know how long it's gonna last.
The man still ain't through 100 picks yet. He got 424 touchdowns. Like, he's one of the rarities when it comes to, I mean, I want to say super rarity. Matter of fact, I don't know any quarterback who's ever done that who hasn't gone through actual growing pains. If you consider 28
Patrick
touchdowns,
Mahomes didn't go through fucking growing pains.
Now he's growing through them.
Talking about his rookie year though.
Oh, no, I'm not talking rookie.
You're talking about his career?
I'm talking about growing pains, period. Oh. For certain quarterbacks who start off this first couple of years hot, they go through growing pains that third year. Like, it used to be sophomore slump. You remember we used to call that often? But yeah. Now you don't see a sophomore slump. You see the freshman learning, and then they start to progress. And
by the way, this is not us saying that Patrick Mahomes is falling off and people are adjusting.
No, not even remotely. He got 18 touchdowns.
Yeah. Even though I saw a wild stat that he threw a pick in 15 of his last 16 games. But like I said about picks in this era of football, I don't really give a shit about picks. It's how you bounce back from picks. As long as you're not in Jameis territory of picks, if you're 15 and under, you're good to me.
Yeah.
No, that's all I'm saying.
No, I agree. Oh, honey. Goodness gracious. Dan Marino had growing pains since the third year. Dan Marino had like 30 touchdowns, 20-something picks. But he started off the year before with he set the record, 48 touchdowns. You know what I mean? So eventually you will have to go through growing pains. It just happens. And so with Justin Fields, let the kid grow. You know what I'm saying? I don't – Bears fans, I've learned one thing. For me, our emphasis in 79th and Hallis was getting you the perspective of young black men, because that perspective has not been heard at Hallis Hall.
Young Jeezy of sports media.
You know, exactly. And that's why that's why you also hear from Herb Howard of the Big.
Shout out to the homie Herb.
You know, my guy. you know, giving his perspective, and it's honest and it's raw. He's still a fan. He's not gonna act like it, and that's what we give. Because what do you hear at Hallis Hall? Straight white men.
Yeah.
Even the white women that's who are what, there. Even
well, I feel
white,
like that's
even hear me, the, out, hear me out. Even the white women who are there have to like fight for even status to have sure. their name heard.
100%.
Yeah, I would hear it. I'm like, man, she had a question that you just kind of stepped all over. But what, you know what I'm saying? It still has to fight and claw. That being said, with 7th and Hallis or with Barbershed Network, period. Actually, more specifically, 7th and Hallis. I wanted to have the fans have
7th and Hallis is the Monday Night Raw of Barbershed Network. Let's yeah. just not get it fucked up.
I want you all to I want the fans to interact with us because too often local journalism and national journalism put themselves right here just because you have interaction with a person who is playing football. That's it. Now, that being said, a lot of Chicago media I genuinely mess with. You know what I'm saying? Scott knows who we're talking about. You know, Jason Leisure, Kevin Fishbane, Jeff Dickerson. I rock with these people. These are good dudes, and I have conversations with them. And I love interacting with them. Zach Pearson, love interacting with these dudes. Pat Finley, love interacting with these dudes. But too often, I know national media, they're just, we're up here. You just interview them. And so with 7th and Hallis, I want to interact and have you all have an opportunity. Hallis, could you ask about this and implement those things? That being said, Chicago is full of meathead fans.
Yeah.
And I mean just idiots. Now, the shoe don't fit. Don't pay attention to what I'm saying. But what when it comes to the Bears, it's a rookie quarterback. But you're seeing something you've never seen in a quarterback with Justin Fields. I'm telling you that. So why don't you enjoy the ride, learn from it. And it's not with Mitch Trubisky. And Scott was on Mitch from year two. Year one, Scott was like, okay, rookie year.
This is what I gave Mitch.
You gave him first year, that was it. Second year, you were like.
No, that's what happened. I'm going to tell you. Rookie year, I was like, okay, for a rookie in this archaic John Fox system, 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, not bad. The first half of 2018, I was like, okay, he looks decent. I told you that Rams game made me look at Nagy and Mitch like this. Now, of course,
there's a problem.
I've been anti Ryan Pace from his first year here. Yep. So I smelled the Ryan Pace shit as soon as he traded Brandon Marshall. He got on my bad side.
Yeah.
So, but then Mitch, I was like, even after 2018, I was like, okay, it wasn't the best year, but he showed some promise. 2019, he has to take a step. He went through the first four games with no touchdown. I was like, this nigga stinks. That's when I was off. My 2020, I didn't even look at his face. So considering how mad I was on draft day, I think I gave the kid a chance.
And one thing's for sure is I loved Mitch. I still like Mitch. I would love
I for think Mitch is a great guy. He Mitch, can't throw a fucking football.
If you're listening, get on the podcast with us. I would love
I would love that interview, honestly.
I would love to have Mitch on the podcast. Mitch, matter of fact, if you ever just feel like you want to become a full-time podcaster, you can help us take off. This is going to be Mitch's corner. You're going to just talk about the NFL. You know what I'm saying? I really rock with him as a person. And I don't think – I haven't heard any bad things about him as a person. Bears players who play here still like Mitch. You saw when he came here, the Bears – goodness gracious. This is – that's a new low for me.
Put your phone on your bed.
That you know, Bears players who play with him still rock with him. You saw the preseason game. They still rock with him. That being said, even I knew, okay, I'm copping pleas for him right now. But with Justin – I'm trying my best to not cop please at all. Like the Allen Robinson wide open play. I don't care what you say. Look up. And he saw him. He saw Allen Robinson when he was wide open. I will give him credit though. He said, oops. Like I see I see the defender behind me. He felt that defender. Cause if he would have wound up, cause that's a long pass. That's about 50 yards. If he winds up and passed, that's getting slapped. And that's probably gonna be a fumble. And then you'd be like, oh. But the reason he was wide open, but his eyes were nowhere near that because that's not the design of the play. And that happens sometimes. It was a blown coverage, but that's not the design of the play. But as a veteran, I hope if he gets into his second year, he will have – that has to be a completion. Because if Aaron Rodgers saw somebody bust the coverage and never ran a call, remember that? Remember 4th and 8? Remember
that? I was convinced he was going to have a touchdown today.
The cop stinks. He's old.
Yes, but I thought he was just going to do it for the road. He had a touchdown last week. True. A big touchdown last week against Cincinnati.
But like I was saying, like, It just happens. You know what I'm saying? He's going to make those throws. And Justin will have to get his eyes up. I don't care what he says. Get your head up. After you see that Reeves not open, start looking.
And that's the thing. Like, we're not – I don't – like I tweeted today, there's nothing wrong with criticizing Justin. There's nothing. No. I'm not saying
– some bears that, oh, I said we can't criticize Justin. I said nobody said
that. I tweeted
you
today.
You made that narrative in your own head.
Yeah, I tweeted today when he overthrew A-Rob on second and what, eight? Yeah. And we went three and out. I was like, that's a bullshit throw. He had a couple throws. We just wasn't hitting his receivers. You can criticize him, but also understand the situation. He's 20 fucking two. He's the second youngest quarterback in the league right now.
Yeah. Who's the youngest? Like,
I don't know who's the youngest, but the stat they said, at least Greg Olsen said he's second youngest quarterback in the league right now. That's what Greg Olsen said. By the way, Greg Olsen is not a bad commentator. I thought Greg Olsen is pretty good. So I'm just like, though, we got to be.
Krasinski, though, I got some words for you.
You know what my thing about? I think AJ's mad that he didn't get interviewed for the job last year because he wanted to get interviewed. That's my personal belief with AJ. And I thought AJ had moments where he was good. Adam Amin was great. Yeah. By the way, Chicago Bulls basketball is back on Wednesday. And also, big shout out to the Chicago Sky, WNBA champions. Got to give a round up for them. Candace Parker, the GOAT. They held it down. One thing I love about Chicago sports, when we got a winner, we hold it down. It was some good crowds in this. So shout out to them. But yeah, it's just, man, you gotta be patient with him. It's with any quarterback, especially a young one. I think Justin has shown me shit every game that I'm like, he's the guy. So wow, now the job for Ryan Pace, if he wants to be here long term, put the right people around your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And even looking at the offense, look, you need to look at this whole team, defense and offense. What guys are going to be here in the third year of this window? The third, when Justin's third season, when the cap grows, you can actually spend more money and you can actually have a winning window. Because even if, you know, and Aaron Rodgers is either going to be one of two things by Justin 3 years, either playing on another team or he's going to be retired.
Yeah. So he laughed out the tunnel saying they can't wait for me to leave. I was like,
he can't wait till he can fucking leave. Let's keep it a fucking buck. Like, the fuck? You can't wait till you leave, nigga.
I got some words about him, period. But
let's get into that right now.
Well, here's
let me just get this one point out before we get to, because finish my point about what players need to stay here. On the defensive end, there's only two guys who for sure, because you got to put together who's your core. I talked about on He Gone about who's the White Sox core, and we can – it don't matter who we add to this team next year, that Tim Anderson, Yoan Makata, Eloy, Luis Robert, and Jose Abreu have to play better in the playoffs because that's your core, and if your core doesn't produce, it doesn't fucking matter. You got to find out who's your core on the Bears. On defense, it's Roquan is a no fucking doubter.
Yeah.
Roquan is the second best – actually, Roquan might be the best player on this team. Might be best player. Roquan and fucking Jalen are your young cornerstones.
Jalen still did good against Devontae.
I think Jalen did a solid job.
That one
when,
long
when Devontae play. Got when Devontae got loose, who was that on? Number four, Eddie Jackson.
Jalen Johnson had a good game.
Darnell Mooney had a good game. Cole Kmet actually looked good for the first down. Khalil Herbert looked good. So we need to figure out who's going to be the guys that you're going to build with Justin. That should be the plan. This team's not going to win this year.
No,
I know Matt Nagy thinks this team can compete, but you got shown today that no matter how close the game was, like I said, if you look at the stats, if you watch the game, this was a close game. It was a 3-point game with like 7 minutes left. We ain't been that close to the Packers, you know, in 3 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Aaron Rodgers was the fucking difference. So if I'm a Packer fan, now I believe if you talk to a Packer fan, pull him to the side and tell him not to talk biasly, he knows that it's not going to be that more many more wins you're going to get over us.
Yeah.
For one of two reasons. Justin's going to get better, and Rodgers ain't going to be here.
No.
He ain't going to be here. Devontae not going to be here. Devontae, now he don't even talk to the fucking front office about his contract. They're very
close. This is y'all last dance, literally.
Literally. Which y'all ain't
they literally said it.
This y'all ain't even got no championships to dance on. This is y'all last shot. That's the shit. At least Scotty and Mike were coming off 5 titles. Y'all niggas... This nigga ain't won a championship in a decade. That was 2010. Everybody on that team outside of Randall Cobb. Was Randall Cobb even on that team? I think he was. Nobody on that team is even in the league anymore outside of Aaron Rodgers. So this ain't no last dance. I think if you actually talk to them, they know. They're not going to have that many more wins over us, bro. You can just tell it's one of those things where the balance is going to be tipped very, very soon. So that's all I'm saying
about it. What did The Rock say? The balance of power in the DC universe is about to change.
I can't wait to do Cinema with the guys. I think DC is loading the clip, and I want to talk about that. I think DC loading the clip. I was very impressed with DC fandom. I think they loading the clip, so I want to talk about that on Cinema with the guys this week.
Tune in.
So, but no, the floor on Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron, you're that guy against the Bears. You're that guy against the NFC North. I mean, one of your most famous Hail Mary throws was against the Lions, right? When he rolled out and launched it. You've dominated the division for as long as you've been starting. 100%, no doubt about that. And you can't take away that from you at all. You have the Super Bowl win. That was also 10 years ago. Since that, you haven't won anything. Plenty of times NFC Championship games, you shit the bed. It's great for you to say, I still own you. Yeah. But when you play against them niggas, you gonna lose. It's cool to beat up on niggas you know you're better than. It's cool to talk stuff. I see people, that's how I know people are lame when they try to, when I see a man who goes against another dude who is half his size and has no clue how to fight and talks crap and, you know, stands over him like, yeah, I got you. Yeah, it's easy to talk over niggas who you know you can beat. Bears are unfortunately one of them. But you don't do that same thing when you go against them niggas. Well, you're going against the teams who are clearly better than you. So, you know, the Bears can't do nothing but respect it and can't be mad at you for saying you own them. You do. But Packers fans, come on now. It's been a decade of nothing. Yeah, that's – and I think he's one of those dudes who like to – you know, clown on the teams you're better than, but when you face the real teams, you don't do that same thing. Keep that same energy. It's one of the things I like about Michael Jordan. He's going to talk to you regardless of the score. He's going to talk to you. Kobe, it don't matter if he's down. If he just killed you, you're going to hear from him. You got to just keep that same energy. And I never thought he kept that same energy. You with the Bears, you know. Of course, I'm a Bears fan. So that's what happens. You beat the Bears. You did it. Congrats, man. You did it. What did the Jada Kiss diss against 50 Cent? You did it, baby. History.
Was that 50? He said that on the Bravehearts remix too.
That was what is it?
Braveheart. Better verse, Jada or Luda?
It was. Oh, Jada! Oh my goodness, that ain't close.
The remix said, with me. Bullets give you a deep tissue massage.
That was trash.
What?
In hindsight, Luda was trash.
Luda wasn't trash. It was just a punchline rap era, bro.
Jada was mad.
Jada's been good for 25 years, though.
Why put you in a verse when I could put you in a car in a van? But Jada Kiss was like, you did it, baby. Congratulations, homie. You made history. 1.5 million in a short week.
Yeah, I remember that shit. Yeah.
Screw a press conference. Persist on your conscience. I don't want to sound mad. I feel marvelous. That's exactly how I feel right now. So marvelous. You beat up on them Bears, but this was footsteps. That's all I said is footsteps.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna name this episode. Footsteps.
It's footsteps. Yes, you beat the Bears, but that time.
Time's ticking.
That time is up. Packers
where
fans.
What the Rock say? Tick-tock.
Packers fans rejoice. But then that Jordan Love era is coming, and you finna get.
And then what's it going to be? Justin Fields is 8-0 in his last 8 games against the Green Bay Packers. It feels like the balance of power shift. I'm putting like this. Remember when the Yankees used to kick the Red Sox ass all the time?
What happened now?
What happened?
Red Sox beating the crap out of them.
What happened? Reverse the curse. Them niggas ain't sniff shit. The Yankees the little brother now.
Yes. So, you know, celebrate now. Also, we going to be in Lambeau.
Don't let them win. I'm getting carried out like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Because I'm gonna be on there. Scott said he's gonna be sitting, so I'm gonna record at the 50-yard line.
We're doing our post game. We're able to do our post game. Do not look. Listen to me. Listen. Get close to the mic. Listen to me. If we win that game, and we got the post game on the field, I'm sitting in the end zone like CM Punk. I'm telling you, it's gonna go viral. Do not let us win that game. That's all I'm going to say. Because I think the Bears are going to remember this. I think the Bears are going to remember what Aaron said. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't give a fuck what happens the rest of this season. I want December 12th.
Oh, bro.
I don't give a shit if we go 1-10 the next 11. that one better be December 12th.
You know, and you could see it on Justin Fields' face. Justin Fields was angry. And you should be. Him, like Trevor Lawrence, they're not used to losing.
To losing, yeah.
These dudes don't lose often. And he's angry. Matt Nagy was angry, too. Matt Nagy said, you know, we just got to focus himself. I can see that vein starting to pop out of his head. You was angry. You don't want nobody to come to your field and say that. So, see you in Lambeau. Keep that same energy.
We going to be there.
We going to be there. We're going to be freezing. We going to be there. That crappy stadium that still got bleacher seats. Yeah. We going to be there.
We'll be in the press. Also,
shout out to Eric. He used to work for the Bears, works for the Packers now. He was there at the game today. Shout out. Good dude. Helped me out last year.
By the way, next week is going to be the last game that you won't see me for 2 weeks because I'll be in Soldier for the Niners game, and I'll be in Heinz Field on Monday Night Football.
Yes.
That
may be the last game that we're not at. Seattle, yeah. I'm still deciding, but every other
it
game
depends home, on Russell Wilson's availability.
Exactly. Russell Wilson's not there. I'm not going.
I will be there front and center for Lamar versus Justin Fields.
That's going to be interesting. That and that's home, so.
Yeah.
Huh. That's Lamar Jackson's first trip here?
Yep.
So, that's the first time playing the Bears?
That's the first time we've played Lamar. We haven't played Lamar yet.
Boy, he gonna freaking take off on everybody.
Oh, nigga, he gonna fuck.
Bears gonna lose. Up. I just want to see him.
Yeah, I just want to see the battle.
Yeah, I just want to see how, you know, it's probably gonna be like 45-30. Justin gonna have them touchdowns, but Lamar gonna take off. But like I said, man, just, you know, Packers fans enjoy it. You won, no qualms. The ref didn't help you win. You just straight up won. That's your team. Embrace it. Cause
footsteps.
Footsteps.
Is there anything else we need to go over?
Nah. I think that's about it. So, thank you all for listening. Like I said, for our Patreon subscribers, as I said.
Do we have the full video for the post-game that's going to be uploaded?
We do. Okay. I will be putting that up later. You know, thank you all for... I said like a really in-depth thank you all because I really just appreciate the love you all. We had another Patreon subscriber today. And we thank you all for the love that you give us because you enable us to travel and go to these games.
Definitely.
And for those of you who are listening just on a regular feed, consider subscribing. $5, $10. You get access to so much more information. You know, you have so much more insight that I don't share on regular pods. So, thank you all for listening. We will catch you all next week. We won't be in Tampa. I have better things to do.
I think I'm going to go to Tampa to get our ass kicked and then be around anti-vaxxers. I'm fine.
You think I want to see the Bears lose then catch COVID? I don't think so.
Right, nigga. No.
I don't think so. But we will catch you all with our pregame that will come Friday because the Bears will already be in Tampa. There's no practice on Friday, which is a bit shocking. So we will see you all with our preview pod on Friday or Saturday, and then of course with the post game pod. We'll catch you all there.